السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. كيف أصبحتم؟ أصبحنا وأصبح الملك لله والحمد لله. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. بسم الله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه أبدا سرمدا، ما دامت السماوات والأرض ومن بعد أن تزولا. والصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد الرسول المبين الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. I do not think I should have done otherwise this morning as we first meet for the first Salat al-Fajr, that as a reminder I remind you of other than, in particular, as-salah. I want to begin this retreat together by reminding myself and the new of Salah and the importance of Salah and the specialness of Salah. For Salah is that umbilical cord that connects us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regularly. Salah is that spiritual ascension that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala graced His ibad al-mu'minun with. For as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was graced by ascension, by mi'raj, and during which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made salah mandatory upon His ibad from seven heavens, He sent a gift with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from that mi'raj, a gift to His ibad. That gift was salah, as though subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling us, was telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my ibad will have their mi'raj too. And their mi'raj to me is through their salah. That is why it is said, as-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. That is why it is said, as-salah is the mi'raj of the mu'min, the spiritual transport and ascension of the believer, of the faithful. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ لِوَقْتِهَا. My dear brothers and sisters, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved of deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is salah on time. فَمَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ أَقُولُ فَمَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَهُوَ بِغَيْرِهَا أَوْ لِغَيْرِهَا أَحْفَظُ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَهَا كَمَا قَالَ عُمَرْ رَضِي اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعَ وَمَنْ حَفِظَ الصَّلَاةَ حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ فلينظر أحدنا مركبة أو مقام الصلاة في قلبه فليعلمن مقامه عند الله عز وجل. He who or she who is caring about his or her salah, that would be an indication that he or she will be or would be about other important matters caring as well. And he or she, as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu pointed out, who is careless about his or her salah, then he or she will be even more careless about other matters of importance. Mind you, my dear brothers and sisters, that Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave that advice to one of his governors as he wrote him a letter soon after his inauguration as a governor, a political post in which he reminds him of Salah. And the first advice that he gave him is As-Salah, حافظ على الصلاة فإنك إن ضيعتها فأنت لما سواها أضيع. This person to whom he gave the vicegerency, if you will, of a vast territory nowadays is like a king or a president. He tells him, if you are careless about Salah, then about all other matters of importance in your political duties and administrative duties, you will be even more careless. فَإِنْ ضَيَّعْتَهَا فَإِنَّكَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعَ. My dear brothers and sisters, Salah is truly that which connects the mu'min through his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, the most beloved a'mal, the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are required and mandatory is salah. وَأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا قَامَ يُصَلِّي نَصَبَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَجْهَهُ الْكَرِيمَ إِلَى عَبْدِهِ كما جاء في الحديث الصحيح. نصب وجهه عز وجل إلى عبده ما لم يلتفت ذلك العبد وما لم ينصرف. When the abd stands in salah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah most majestic and glorious subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a gift subhanallah, turns his face without tashbih and without takif, without any anthropomorphic insinuations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns his face, and I emphasize bila tashbihin wala takif, without any anthropomorphic tendencies, without any physical or temporal insinuation, he subhanahu wa ta'ala turns his face to his abd, subhanallah. As long as the abd does not turn away in that salah, does not turn his face or his eyes, and does not turn, most importantly, his or her heart away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most important. And dhikr has levels. The dhikr par excellence is the Qur'an. After the Qur'an come La ilaha illallah and the rest of the adhkar that we know and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught us. Yet of all of these adhkar and of the du'a and of tilawatul Qur'an, the best dhikr and the best form of dhikr is salah, or rather Quran recited in salah. the best ibadah, the most beloved ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beloved amal under normal circumstances, is reciting Quran in salah. And thus, this teaches me and you, my dear brothers and sisters, that if I find love inside of me for salah, inshallah, that's an indication of rida from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I find inside of me boredom or burden inside of me for salah and in salah, that's an indication of the opposite. I ask you, inshallah ta'ala, and myself, that during this week that we have together, that we focus most importantly on salah. For if salah is performed properly, if salah gradually, alhamdulillah, is perfected, if you will, is enhanced and beautified, then many other portals and gates and windows will open in front of us of spiritual nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of spiritual wealth, and of comfort and peace and joy and knowledge in this dunya before akhirah. Let no one, my dear brothers and sisters, no one dissuade you, no matter who he or she is, no matter who they are, that there are other works more important than salah. Anyone who says it in this way is wrong. Anyone who says it in this way is wrong. أول ما يسأل العبد يوم القيامة عن صلاته. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the first matter about which the child of Adam will be asked about, the servant of Allah will be asked about on the Day of Judgment, first of all matters, the salah. If that test first is failed, then everything else fails, regardless of what the person had done before. Salah, salah, salah. These words, as-salat, 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 were of the last words that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uttered when he was dying, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The last words of the last words of the last words he uttered when he was dying is this admonition, this advice, this wasiyah. As-salat, 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 wa ma malakat aymanukum. Salah, 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 said he, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. When the day he died, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that morning, as he opened the curtain of his house, and he was unable to eat salah, the pain was beyond what 10 of us strong men can bear, strong human beings. As he stood, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and opened the curtain of his noble room, and he saw the Sahaba in Salah, in Salatul Fajr, with the Imam of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he saw that, he smiled. That was the last he saw of his Ummah. He smiled. He saw an Ummah in Salah, an Ummah united in Salah. He smiled and closed the curtain, and he was never to be seen again, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Under all circumstances, my brothers and sisters, under all circumstances, we must never fail this test of salah. We must never take salah lightly. We must not only, as people say, colloquially, do salah or make salah, but we must learn to perform salah. that it becomes an act of performance. That it becomes an act of performance. So that Allah will accept it from us, and second, so that it will inshaAllah ta'ala exalt us and rise with us to higher dimensions of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These few days that we have together inshaAllah, try to disengage yourselves, your minds and your hearts from all the attachments and concerns you have outside of this retreat. Matters of legitimate things, even of dunya. Disengage yourselves from that. Engage your hearts instead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully, that He may inshallah grant us strength, and He may grant us energy, that when we go back and when you go back inshallah, you do the legitimate things of dunya, you do them still with focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this beautiful, engaging hadith, as far as I am concerned, when he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَبْنَ آدَمْ تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي يَبْنَ آدَمْ تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي أَمْلَأْ صَدْرَكَ غِنَى وَأَسُدَّ فَقْرَكَ وَإِلَّا تَفْعَلْ مَلَأْتُ يَدَيْكَ شُغْلًا وَلَمْ أَسُدَّ فَقْرَكَ. He said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that is, this is hadith Qudsi that the ulama had authenticated, that he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, what means, O child of Adam, تَفَرَّغْ. Tafarrag literally means empty yourself. Literally means empty yourself. Tafarrag. And we translate it usually as focus, concentrate. Don't do anything except this. Keep yourself busy with. But literally, subhanAllah, notice it means empty yourself. Empty yourself. And that's the meaning of disengaging our hearts and disengaging our minds and freeing and emptying our hearts and our minds from all our attachments and concerns and humoom that we have for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي. Empty yourself for my ibadah. Empty your heart and make it ready for my ibadah. Because the greatest ibadah is the ibadah of the heart. The greatest ibadah is the ibadah of the heart, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees our hearts engaged fully with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not simply and not only, which is necessary, not simply and not only our limbs and our external senses, but most importantly, our hearts. So He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي. And when you empty your qalb, you disengage your qalb, subhanAllah, through mujahada, of course, through struggle, and through attempt of focusing, and through salah, and through dhikr, and through quietness, and through inner observation of one's state of the heart. You listen, if you will, to your spiritual beats, to your mental beats inside of you. What are they? And you try to focus them on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي. When you do that, when you empty, Allah fills up. أَمْلَأْ. تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي. أَمْلَأْ صَدْرَكَ غِنَى. If you empty your heart for me, I shall fill up. With what? He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, I shall fill up your chest, your heart, with richness. Richness. You will never be poor. Because poverty and misery is the poverty and the misery of the heart. And richness is the richness of the heart. Slavery is the slavery of the heart. And freedom is the freedom of the heart. Peace is the peace of the heart. And turmoil is turmoil of the heart. أَمْلَأْ صَبْرَكَ غِنَى. And if one has that richness inside of the qalb, of peace and of contentment and of security and of joy, subhanallah, then he or she truly is never poor, is never miserable, regardless of what happens outside. And that with the barakah of, empty your heart from me. تفرغ لعبادتي أملأ صدرك غنى وأسد فقرك. And I shall suffice you against poverty. والله الذي لا إله والله الذي لا إله إلا هو والله الذي لا إله إلا هو. The qalb that is attached to Allah is never poor. Is never poor. Is never in need for money. Let's put it that way. والله الذي لا إله إلا هو. القلب المعلق بالله عز وجل is never in need of money. أملأ صدرك غنى وأسد فقرك, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful hadith Qudsi related to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Empty yourselves, my dear brothers and sisters, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill up our qulub with ilm, with the nur and the light of ilm, with the nur and the light of iman, with the nur and the light of nearness to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the nur and the light of solace in his spiritual company subhanahu wa ta'ala. Empty your hearts, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill them up with his grace and his rahmah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salah is most instrumental in that. Everything we're going to do here too, this week, what we're going to learn and do inshallah, let it be within this envelope of emptiness of the qalb from other than Allah and a focus on salah inshallah ta'ala. As your program says, and I looked at it alhamdulillah last night, jazakumullah khair, the sisters and the brothers who have kindly and meticulously prepared that, I would like everyone to read that program. All the steps, all what is written there, you read it and forgive, I think, some typographical mistakes that two or three of them that were there that I noticed. We would like to be as perfectionist as possible, so we have to point that out as well, inshallah. So please read that and follow those instructions, for they are intended inshallah ta'ala only that each one bi-idhnillah optimizes or maximizes his or her spiritual benefit and also helps others, sisters and brothers, to attain the same inshallah ta'ala. As you all know, that one of the most beautiful windows of time for dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also after Salatul Fajr until the sun rises. Please, this is only to remind us I would like rather than give a long khatira, give us more time for practicing what we learn, namely to sit in focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dhikr. I would like that what we learn here, we practice of it as much as possible when we leave outside of here. Focusing our energies here, inshallah, will help use those energies properly, inshallah ta'ala, when we leave from here. So be in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the program mentions, and try to follow that program as closely as possible. Days are very short, as you know. So we have to do our best, and nights, alhamdulillah, are longer. And therefore, when it says at 10 p.m. we should be in bed, that is very important, so that you may wake up earlier, as highly recommended for salah at night, in that most desired moment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by the righteous ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that after that, you won't go back to sleep, you won't be tired as you are learning, and we are learning together. And when it says there is rest, take that seriously, so that by the end of the day, you will not be too exhausted, such that at night you won't be able to wake up, inshallah ta'ala. حفظكم الله وسطركم الله إن قلت صوابا فمن الله وحده وإن قلت غير ذلك فمن نفسي ومن الشيطان ومن جهلي أعوذ بالله أن أذكر به وأنساه وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وبعلو أسمائه وحسن صفاته وبجزيل نعمائه والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين الرسول المبين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم صل عليه وسلم وبارك عدد خلقك ورضاء نفسك وزنة عرشك ومداد كلماتك. First, my dear brothers and sisters, a reminder to myself and to you, as we reminded one another yesterday, that salah is the most beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the mu'min is always very concerned about his or her salah. The mu'min attempts continuously and sincerely to improve on the status or the state of his or her salah. The mu'min would indeed like to achieve the level when salah becomes a mi'raj to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it is taught, as-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. For as we are in salah, we are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salah is intended to do so many beautiful things to us, amongst which is to soften our hearts. Min salah yasli. And that is to soften the stick. Allah has intended to do that to our hearts. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, salah prevents the abd, the individual, from indulging or from committing that which is excessive and that which is evil. And thus, as we stand in salah, we ought to struggle in order to have our qulub conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most important, again, element in any ibadah, as we have learned, is our qalb, the presence of our qalb. And the presence of our qalb is essential in salah. That is what we call khushu'ah. That the qalb is fully focused. The more khushu'ah, the more focus of the qalb in salah. It is related that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember, used to teach when he sometimes aligns his sahaba in salah or outside even that. He used to teach sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, صلوا صلاة مودع أو صلي صلاة مودع كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. He used also to teach sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perform your salah as though you were going to die. صلاة مودع, a person who is given his farewell and leaving this world. صلي صلاة مودع كأنك تراه, as though you see God, as though you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And though you do not see Him, He sees you subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why some ulama rahmahumullah ta'ala, the righteous ones, say of the most instrumental of means to help us focus in salah is to have the qalb be in this state, namely the qalb to be watchful, yuraqib, to be watchful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over it. Even if we don't understand what the imam may be reciting sometimes, if in our salah we try or we attempt to be guarding our hearts and to focus on our hearts on this, that Allah is watching inside of me, is hearing inside of me right now, and He's always subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. That helps us focus in our qulub, focus our qulub in salah. My dear brothers and sisters, it is also related that He used to say sometimes, and that's احفظوا قلوبكم في الصلاة, keep your hearts, in other words, keep your hearts focused in salah, concentrated in salah. من الحفظ, that is from shielding and covering and protecting, and not allowing the قلوب to stray away in thoughts and in concerns and in attachments and so on. And of the essential things to do that is easy, I would say, for everyone to inshallah practice and to apply, is our external movements in salah. Our external movements in salah. For if our external movements of our hands and of our heads and our other limbs, if those movements are not controlled, if the body, the physical body, is not still, then how can the heart be still? Then, if I'm in salah, I should learn not to move my hands, not to scratch my head or my nose, or أَعْبَثُ بِلِحْيَتِي, or to use my hands in over my beard, and or the sister of a khimar, or any type of movement that is not necessary. And I say necessary. It is not haram, but it is at least makruh to do that. For it will certainly affect the state of our khushu'. It is related, this text is sometimes mentioned to be marfu', but it is also mursal, or it is the word of a tabi'i, Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahimahullah ta'ala, that he was in the masjid and he saw a person in salah, as most people do, or a lot of people do in salah, and doing this to, with a beard. Many people do that. So he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, to his students or his companions around him, look at that one. لَوْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُ هَذَا لَخَشَعَتْ جَوَارِحُ. If the heart of that individual were in khushu', then his outer limbs would be in khushu'. And that way we learn, inshallah ta'ala, to give life to our salah. That our salah not be like a dead corpse, lifeless. And the life of a salah is its khushu', the presence of the qalb in it. We would not want to be like Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, standing in front of Allah, and every time we stand in front of Allah is like an audience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us, and before we go to the sovereign in that audience, we take a gift with us. That gift is our salah. And salah without qalb is a gift that a person is given to the sovereign that is like a dead animal. Bring a horse instead of a beautiful living horse, you bring to the sovereign the gift of a dead corpse of a horse. Salah is either living or dead, depending on the qalb of mine. Is it living in salah, or is it not living in salah? Is it outside salah? My dear brothers and sisters, we must emphasize this, because salah is imaduddin. Because salah is imaduddin, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches, salah is the most fundamental pillar of the deen. Imaduddin, says he sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, I remind myself and you, if we are careless about perfecting it also, not only careless about it, but if we're careless about perfecting it, then we would be careless about perfecting other also important matters. My dear brothers and sisters, مَنْ ضَيَّعَهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعَ, as says Rasulullah, as says Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه. We recited today from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min surati Fatir, قوله عز وجل يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله. O mankind, O human beings, O people, you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أنتم الفقراء إلى الله. فقراء, plural of faqir, the person who is in need, the person who is poor. You are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the ghani subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the owner of everything, is the possessor of everything, is the rich one. Wal hamid, and he's the one who's often thankful, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and grateful. Imagine that. That is, when we do good, when we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is not only hamid, but hamid, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Antumul fuqara'u ilallah. You are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. This to remember is very essential. I am in need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for my iman, for the treasure of iman. I'm in need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for ilm, for knowledge. I'm in need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for my internal peace and security. I am in need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not only my material needs and requirements, but I'm most importantly in need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these elements that are much more important than wealth and property. Allah is ghani not only in terms of wealth that is material. Most importantly, Allah is ghani for the wealth that is spiritual, that is intellectual. And we should therefore seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. We should also not take this world and this dunya and the possessions of this dunya as the ultimate focus in our lives. We should liberate our hearts from the desires, the strong attachments, the strong bursts of desires, of desire and longing for the material gains of this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as is related by the ulama, izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah subhanahu. وَزْهَدْ مَا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ يُحِبُّكَ النَّاسِ. إِزْهَدْ فِي الدُّنْيَا يُحِبَّكَ اللَّهِ. وَزْهَدْ فِي مَا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ يُحِبَّكَ النَّاسِ. أو في رواية يحبوك. Says رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, have zuhd in dunya. And when we say dunya, we mean particularly the two defining elements of dunya that are, say it, al-malu wal-jah. Al-malu wal-jah. Wealth, property, and power, and authority, leadership. Izhad fi dunya. Allah will have hub for you, subhanAllah. Izhad fi dunya, Allah will have hub for you. And who is this seeker of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he or she is defined as a seeker who would not want hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And yet, this is the price. And yet, this is the price, my dear learned brothers and sisters. Izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah. Wazhad fi ma fi aydi an-nas yuhibbuka an-nas. And there are those of us, and sometimes naturally so, to be inclined to be loved by people and not hated by people. And he says, if you want to be loved by people, have zuhd in what they have. True respect and true love from other human beings, true respect and true love from other human beings come to us, come to you, if you have zuhd in what they own, they have, they possess, of wealth and of power. Subhanallah. Wisdom is very simple, isn't it? This is divine wisdom. And what is zuhd? And what is zuhd? Asceticism, sometimes it is translated, abstinence, and so on and so forth. But some of the beautiful definitions I came across and I like to reflect on and learn more about are these. الزهد ترك ما يشغلك عن الله تعالى. الزهد ترك ما يشغلك عن الله تعالى. The mu'min is a seeker, is a murid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yurid Allah azza wa jal. Desires and wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he or she wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this life there are elements, like on the road, as you walk a road, a physical road, if you have a destination to go, don't take side roads. They will distract you from your destination. If you're walking on a road towards a destination, don't keep looking too much to the right and too much to the left and be bewildered and distracted by what you see. For that may distract you for a while, or may even deviate you from your destination. You may want to take a way out and a pause. Remember the story of what is it called? Al-Arnab wa Sulahfa, right? The turtle and the and what? And the hare, right? Remember that story? The turtle took the path straight, and it took time, steadily. Did not look right and left. Did not got distracted by what it sees around it of gardens and flowers and grass and trees and streams and so on. But that that rabbit or that hare, what did it do? It looked right. It looked left. It saw gardens, it saw streams of water, it saw flowers, and it said, I can't just let this go. I'm going to my destination. I can take time to enjoy all of this. So it did just that. Remember, it was supposed to be a race. A race. And ultimately, the story goes that who got to destination first and says? The turtle. And we are, aren't we, on a race. سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, الزهد هو ترك ما يشغلك عن الله سبحانه وتعالى. الزهد is to keep away and to dispense with that which keeps me, you, distracted from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Anything. That is, I think, the true essence of zuhd. Zuhd, as another scholar, rahimahullah ta'ala, speaks about it, zuhdu ikhla'u, or ma'na ma qal, zuhdu ikhla'u qalbika mimma khalat yaduk. Zuhdu ikhla'u qalbika mimma khalat yaduk. That is, zuhd is to clear your heart, to disengage your heart, to detach your heart, to disconnect your heart, from that which your hand does not have. Do you see that? There is wealth and I want wealth. If I want wealth, that's not zuhd. Because wanting, desiring, willing is an act of the qalb. It means it is in the qalb. If I want it, then it's not zuhd in wealth. Even though I don't have it in my hands. I would also say that zuhd is also ikhla'ul qalbi mimma fil yad. أيضا الزهد إخلاء القلب مما في اليد. Another level of zuhd is to free the heart, to empty the heart from what one has in his or her hand, in his or her possession. It's in my external possession, my legal possession, my technical possession, but it is not in my heart. But it is not in my heart. So if it is there, alhamdulillah. If it is not there, alhamdulillah. Truly and essentially, but to reach that level, one oftentimes has to first clear his hands from it before the heart is cleared, and then maybe after that one would have it in his hands and be freed from it in his heart or her heart. That's why another alim said, rahimahullah ta'ala, az-zuhdu أن لا تفرح الزهد أن لا تفرح بما أوتيت وأن لا تحزن على ما لم تملك أو لم تؤتى. زهد is that not to feel pleased and over or joyed with what you have, nor to feel sad and grieved by what you do not have, that you otherwise or otherwise people would like to have, and that you would otherwise also like to have in a state of absence of zuhd and qana'a and so on, contentment and so on. Zuhd is that if one has, is not happy with it, overly happy, alhamdulillah. And if he or she doesn't have, one is not saddened by that, one is not grieved, and one does not look forward for having it. That is zuhd. Izhad fi dunya yuhibbak Allah. Because the gift of zuhd and the reward of zuhd is mahabbatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually the person who gives up dunya in this sense, he has given it up or she has given it up for something much more richer, greater, much more fulfilling. It's a bargain actually. It's not for nothing. It is hubbullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is certainly in this dunya what also that generates those who have practiced that talas, rahmahullah ta'ala, generates peace of mind, peace of heart, security of mind, security of heart. Generates actually it's perhaps the engine of tawakkul. Zuhd is the engine of tawakkul, and tawakkul is one of the greatest and most advanced stations, maqamat of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min maqamat al-qurbi min Allah azza wa jal, at-tawakkul min arfa' al-maqamat. And if there is no zuhd, tawakkul is very difficult. Proper tawakkul, and especially full tawakkul. Because when you disengage your qalb from the elements of the world, when you disengage your qalb from the elements of the world, your qalb attaches itself to the only one existing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's tawakkul. My dear brothers and sisters, remember the tawakkul, the zuhd of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had it in his hands as much as he wanted. He actually never had it in his heart, nor never left it even in his hand. Isn't it true? Every khayr that comes to him is gone. It goes to the needy, to the poor, as gifts, as kaza, dispensed of. So that when he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And a day or two, what was I think, 2 days or so before he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he inquired, how much wealth does he have? How much did he have? Do you remember? It was 6 dinars or dirhams it was. And they told him that's what's left. He said, subhanallah, how do you do that? How am I going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with 6 dirham left in my possession. Nabiullah. Distribute it. Give it away to the needy and the poor. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ma li wa li dunya ma ana wa dunya illa ka. ما أنا والدنيا مالي وللدنيا ما أنا والدنيا إلا كمسافرنا وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم استظل تحت ظل شجرة ثم راح فتركها. What am I and dunya? I and dunya is like a traveler who paused for a moment under a shade of a tree for a moment and stood up and left. And that when a Sahabi came and saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lying down on a hard mat, so hard that you know the straws of the mat and the imprint of the mat was reflected, was imprinted on his noble skin, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was, I think, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in one instance, and another instance, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, would you permit us? Would you permit us to bring you a blanket and put it on this blanket, on this mat, on this straw mat, so that it's not too hard on your skin? To that he said, to that he replied, I mean, that's dunya. We're talking about feather beds and water beds and subhanallah and so on and so forth, ila rizalik, until a person is hidden in the bed, completely hidden. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he could have had mulku Sulaiman, physically speaking and materially speaking, except the power of the shayateen, and he could have been ahsana. We ask Allah to let us be of those who do listen to the words of admonition and follow the best of them. Yes, the maqam of zuhud is one of the maqamat to which the seeker aspires. To which the seeker at least aspires, because the seeker aspires to the hubb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, and peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his or her heart in this dunya before akhirah, insha'Allah ta'ala. Please do continue your dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the sun rises, and then after that you do look at your schedule and you make sure, insha'Allah ta'ala, that you follow that as meticulously as possible, bi-ibnillah. Wa jazakumullah ta'ala خيرا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.